The theme we've chosen for the year 2020 is a verse from Psalm number 119. Thy word, or your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And today we're going to look at this idea that how we respond to those words is a good indication of where we are when it comes to our own journey of faith. How we relate to those words, how we respond to them. For example, if you were to ask a random bunch of churchgoers what does it mean to be a Christian, the answer that you'd most likely get is to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ or to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And that is who we are. That's why we're called Christians. But if you're then to ask, okay, so what impact does your faith in Jesus Christ actually have on your life? That's when we might get more of a variety of answers. Truth be told, there are times when we let our faith become no more than an insurance policy. You know, something that we filed away in a strongbox to be brought out in the event of our death. So during our life, we believe in Jesus, but it's sort of at a distance. We're not really listening to him all that much. We know he's there, but we're not really listening to him all that much at all. There are other times in our lives when because of what we're going through at the time or because of where we are, because, you know, as we grow and our life changes, but so does our faith. We go through different phases, depending on what's happening around about us and what's happening to us. So there are other times in our lives when we see our faith a bit like the way we see our local GP. You know, we know that Jesus is there, but we only actually go to him when we have a need, something we want sorted out or something we need a bit of help with. So we do engage with him, but it tends to be on our own terms. And we trust him with the bits of our life we think he can help us with, just like you trust your GP with the bits of your life you think he or she might be able to help you with. But we don't trust him with all of our life. What Jesus wants is for us to engage with him not on our terms, but on his terms. That's him at the front there. He wants us to trust him with the bits of, not just to trust him with the bits of our lives that we think that we can't cope with and we need his help with, but to trust him with all of our lives, to recognize his call upon our lives, to be willing to answer that call and to follow. And it goes without saying that it's during these times when we trust Jesus with the whole of our lives that he feels closest. It's during those times that our lives feel most complete. And this is where the theme for the year comes in. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to trust him with our lives, we'll need to know where he wants us to go. When these words were written, they're written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. So they would, when they talked about your word, the person who wrote them, the psalmist who wrote them, would have had in mind the Old Testament scriptures, particularly the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Because in those days, that's all they had. That was their main way of listening to God's voice. But according to today's reading from John's Gospel, Jesus coming changed all that. And we are living in the time of blessing as a result of that. Today's reading is the very beginning of John's Gospel. It's on page number 1063, if you want to follow in your pew Bibles. It's just a wee bit further on from Matthew's Gospel that we were looking at earlier. And we're going to read the first 18 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and reading right to the end of verse 18. And it's a really well-known Christmas reading. But it's also a great reading to begin the new year with. So here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Amen. For a number of years now, we've been roughly dividing our year of Sundays into three seasons: a season of looking upwards, a season of looking inwards, and a season of looking outwards. Upwards to God, inwards to the church. What is the church? What should the church be? Outwards to the world. How can we be part of the world? How can we help make the world a better place? But for the next few Sundays, we're going to be facing upwards. And as we face upwards, we'll be exploring the first few chapters of John's Gospel, beginning today. Today's reading is often referred to as the prologue of John's Gospel. A prologue is an introduction. It's when the writer gives some indication of what's to come. So here in these verses, we see John laying out the big themes that are to follow. And he begins by describing Jesus as the Word of God. Now, a word, if you actually think about it, is something that you have to hear. And in order to hear it, you have to be there when it's spoken, and you have to be willing to listen to what it says. Jesus is not just a famous historical figure. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the living voice of God. And we need to listen to what he says. But then in this prologue, John goes further. Jesus is not just the voice of God. Anyone can be the voice of God. Anyone who has been anointed, been given a gift of prophecy, been given words from God, and passes them on, can be the voice of God. John the Baptist was a prophet. He was the greatest of all prophets. But Jesus was greater than John the Baptist. And to all those followers of John the Baptist, and there were thousands of followers of John the Baptist. Remember, he'd ministered for a number of years before Jesus even appeared on the scene, and thousands came and flocked to him. So to all those followers of John the Baptist who might be reading these words, the writer of this gospel gives a gentle reminder that according to John the Baptist himself, Jesus is far greater. He surpasses everything John has done. Jesus was and is in a league of his own because he's not just the Word of God, he is God. Jesus is God. God the Creator, through him the world was made. Remember those words in Genesis chapter 1, how the world was spoken into being. And God said, "Let there be light." The Word of God in action. Jesus is God, the Creator God. He's the giver and restorer of life. You see echoes of these themes throughout John's gospel. We see this theme demonstrated in John chapter 11 when his friend Lazarus is dead and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Remember, he speaks, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth alive. Jesus is the giver and the restorer of life. Okay, so Jesus is God. How does that help us? Well, another theme. Jesus is light in the darkness. Again, a bit further in John's Gospel, he says, he quotes Jesus himself, who says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, this is then demonstrated in the next chapter, John chapter 9, where a man who had been blind from birth is given sight. He's given light in his darkness by Jesus. And it's that man who recognizes who Jesus is. The religious leaders don't recognize him. So although they can see, they're still blind. So you can see that theme of light and darkness. It's a thread that runs throughout John's gospel. And this brings us to another big theme in John's gospel, which again is highlighted in what we've just heard in the words of the prologue. Jesus is the light shining in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood him, or the darkness has not recognized him. In other words, Jesus' presence always presents people with a choice. We can ignore him. We cannot recognize him. We can refuse to listen, refuse to understand, refuse to accept he's there. At the Watch Night service, just the night before Christmas, I talked a bit about this, and I talked about how we live in an age where people prefer to choose what they believe in. And one of the casualties of that is our belief in God. And yet, I went on to say, refusing to believe in God is a bit like refusing to believe in oxygen. I mean, does that make sense? No, I don't believe in oxygen. Where is it? Where's oxygen? See what I mean? This great life-giving thing that's all around us, we can refuse to believe in it, but that doesn't mean to say it's not there. And it's the same when it comes to our belief in God. We can refuse to believe in him, but that doesn't mean his life-giving presence is not there. So we have a choice. We can either refuse to accept he's there, or we can choose to hear his voice and listen to what he's saying and follow him. And it makes a huge difference what choice we make. I can't remember if I've got this. Yes, because to those who choose to believe that he's there and choose to listen to his voice and choose to follow him, he gives us the right to be called children of God. He gives us the right to be born of God, to be new beings. Again, if you know John's gospel, you'll recognize this is a theme that comes up again in chapter 3 that we'll be looking at later on in the spring. That is our right if we believe in God, if we believe in Jesus, if we listen to his voice, if we recognize who he is, he gives us the right to become children of God. And being children of God, being born as a child of God, says John, has its blessings, unnumbered blessings. But one of those blessings is highlighted here in the prologue. Because he says, as children of God, we can know God and know that God is not just the lawmaker of the Old Testament, and he's not just the law enforcer of the religious elite of Jesus' day, but he's the God who loves us with a father's love. The God revealed to us in Jesus, the God of grace and truth. The God whose very nature is to love and forgive and not count the cost. Now, I began by suggesting that a good indicator of how healthy our faith is how we respond to this verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think it was at the service of Lessons and Carols back in December that I quoted Eugene Peterson. He was reflecting on what does the Word of God mean? This is what he says. The Word of God was spoken before it was written. Jesus was seen and touched and heard before he was written about. It is the spokenness, the written dynamic creativity that characterizes Word of God, that characterizes Jesus above everything else. To hear Jesus, we have to be close to him. We have to hear what he says. We have to be willing to listen. Again, I said at Lessons and Carol Service, a phrase Jesus uses all the time is, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is important. Today is the first Sunday in the new year, the first Sunday in the decade, so here are some questions to ponder based on those images. Which of those images represents our faith just now? Do we keep Jesus hidden away in a strongbox somewhere where we can't actually hear his voice at all because he's all locked away? Or do we let his voice get drowned out by the busyness and the clamor of life, only turning to him when we have an appointment, when we have a need, when we have something that only he, we think, can help us with? Is that the only time when we're willing to listen? Or do we take the time to listen to what he's saying? And that takes planning sometimes. That takes setting time aside. A quiet moment. A time to read the Bible. Sunday morning. Sunday evening. Do we take time to listen to what he's saying? Remember, Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, how we listen matters just as much as whether we listen. Do we listen politely and then completely forget what we've just heard? Oh, that was very good, yes. What's for lunch? Or do we hear his call on our lives? Because he has a call on every single one of our lives. No one is exempt from this. It's in answering his call that our joy is made complete. If we just listen politely, then I can't promise all that much for the coming year. I'm sorry. If we listen to his call in our lives, then I can promise that this coming year is going to both surprise and amaze us. And in a year's time, we'll be able to look back and wonder at how far we've come. If we listen to his call in our lives, then I can promise that the Word of God really will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we will notice the difference it makes. So here's a question to finish with. Is that what you want to do? Is that what you want for the year to come? If so, then we could begin today. We could have just a wee time of silence where you can ask yourself the question, what has the Word of God been saying to me this morning? And what am I going to do about it? What has the Word of God been saying to me this morning? What am I going to do about it? Let's have that time of silence now. We thank you, Father, that your hand is upon all of our lives, and that's why we're here today. It is your Holy Spirit who has drawn us here. It's your Holy Spirit who speaks your word into our hearts and into our lives. And we thank you that it is a light hand. It's not a heavy hand. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. All you're asking is that we allow ourselves to be yoked to Jesus, that we might go where he leads us. May it be that in a year's time, we will be able to look back in wonder at all that we've seen and done and heard and said. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.